everyone, and welcome to it. It's the Daily Daily Caller Podcast for the 17th day of December 2019. It's a Tuesday. We've made it to Tuesday so far. Oh, the weekend. Can it get here soon enough? God, I'm Derek Hunter. I'm your host before I bitch about my day. I'm your host. Welcome to the program. You can email me, Derek@dailycaller.com. It's spelled D-E-R-E-K. Spelled like it doesn't sound, but spelled the way it should be. Oh, lots of things to get to. Tons of things to talk about. Thank you for sharing and spreading the word and rating and reviewing on iTunes and all that good stuff. Even if you don't use iTunes regularly, if you just wrote a little review up there, I'd appreciate it. And subscribed anyway. Subscribe on all the platforms. What the hell? Oh, man. So I get done with my radio show, right? And I've got to go into the Daily Caller to record this week's interview. And I go in and I record this week's interview. And I'm complaining because I'm complaining. I'm not complaining because I'm actually mad at anybody much. Just, I get it, you know, and you think, oh, I don't have to write a column tonight. I can relax. I can watch my Below Deck show. I can catch up on some relaxing time for once. And then I get a message from a friend. Oh, I left my kid's backpack in a rental car. Can you pick that up? Because now they're out of state. And it's like, fine, yeah, I'll go. And then it's, oh, I need it FedExed out here. I'm like, oh, geez. So then I go to the grocery store, which is supposed to have a FedEx thing. And it doesn't have a FedEx. It has a FedEx drop-off thing. So if you've raided a FedEx store for all the supplies, you can go and drop the box off at the grocery store. So I got to go across town to an actual FedEx store. You know, it's $220 to send something overnight. I don't know that I've ever paid for FedEx before. But no, that wasn't that. It was 2 days, it was $150. So the joy of fronting that money. Then driving home in the dark and rain after wasting 2 hours on this, 2.5 hours on this, I hit a pothole and it pops my tire. And it's like, oh, God. It's just luckily I found a barren parking lot with covered parking and lights. And I strung together a series of curse words against everybody and everything I've ever known in my life. And all of it was justified. I'm not doing any more favors for anybody for the rest of the year. I've decided. It's, you know, they had on Seinfeld, the summer of George. Well, this is the last 2 weeks of December of Derek. It doesn't exactly roll off the tongue, but damn it, I am going to relax at some point. At some point. I should really get back into smoking pot, to be perfectly honest with you. Lord knows I could use it. Anyway, that was my day. How was your day? I hope it was better than mine, because now, tomorrow, I get to go and get a new tire. So that's going to be a whole nother bit of fun. Not that anybody cares. I just had to vent. This show is as much therapy for me as it is for anything else. Like I said, we got a lot of stuff to get to. We got Maxine Waters laying out the Democrats' case for impeachment and removing Donald Trump. And all of it is delusional. But at least she admits that she doesn't have any facts on her side. And then CNN just kind of lets her go. It becomes Conspiracy News Network. And Erin Burnett doesn't question her in any way, shape, or form. We've got some more AOC stupidity. I feel like the overflow of impeachment news has really robbed us of the Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez updates that America deserves. The stupidity of this woman knows no bounds. The insanity of it knows no bounds. Joe Biden is also pledging to get rid of charter schools because, well, unions, really. It's so amazing that charter schools do so much good, and Democrats, rather than replicate it, rather than spread it, want to get rid of it. And we have stupidity in the media, really, and on left-wing Twitter, which then led to media, which has now led to an investigation into the circle game at the Army-Navy game. Unbelievable stupidity, like I said. I've never played the circle game, apparently. I mean, I know people who have played it. I've never played it. But, you know, you make a circle with your fingers, and then if somebody looks at it, you punch them. When I was growing up, you just punched somebody, you know, or you played the flinch thing. It's a regional thing, the circle game, as I guess apparently flinch is, and slug bugs are. Whenever you saw a Volkswagen Beetle, slug bug, and then you punched somebody in the arm. Or you just punch somebody in the arm. If that was your kink or whatever you felt like doing, that's how we were growing up. But apparently other people had other ideas, and it's now being portrayed as a secret Klan hand signal. It's white supremacy. Oh, my God. Everything is white supremacy. Everything is. If white supremacy were so powerful and ruling, you would think all these whiny little bitches would be shut up somehow at some point. You know, stop whining. God, if your life sucks, it's your own fault. Can we just all agree to that? Yet somehow we went from a society that looked at people who did nothing but whine about how bad they have it all the time and said, you know what? I don't care. Shut up. If you like your life sucks, fix it. We went from that to electing these morons and giving them positions of power and giving them positions in society as news anchors and reporters and journalists. No wonder. They always say that Benjamin Franklin said we had a republic. If we can keep it, we can't keep it. We can't keep it. And frankly, I'm not sure we deserve it as a society anymore until we start smacking some sense into each other. Not figuratively. Figuratively, not literally. Although some people maybe literally. So let's get on with the program, shall we? But first, we thank our sponsors over at GetTheTea.com. Life Change Tea. It will change your life. It cleans you out. It's a tea that makes you go. It's a gentle cleanse, as they say, but it tastes great. It makes you regular. And most importantly, it gets rid of all those things that are in your body that kind of get stuck on the way through, and it's not intrusive. There are other things you could do that are very intrusive. This is not that. This just makes you regular. It cleans you out. Drink as directed. You brew like a gallon of it at once, leave it in the fridge, drink a cup a day, and you'll soon find out how well this stuff works. Go to getthetea.com, enter promo code Derek at checkout, get 10% off your order. They have all sorts of products to help you in the health and wellness department, and promo code Derek will get you 10% off all of it. You can't beat that deal. Do it for yourself. Do it for your body. You'll get more energy. You'll feel better. You'll be able to digest and absorb more nutrients from your food. So very important in the day of processed foods that you get all the nutrients out of it you possibly can. GetTheTea.com. Try the Life Change Tea. Many delicious flavors. You'll thank me for it. And I thank you, for those of you who have been patronizing our sponsors, because if nobody patronizes them, they go away, and then I get nothing. So I'm getting something, and it's because of you. And thank you for that. And I know you're getting something out of it. The CBD oil, the tea, the Patriot Penguin cards, all that good stuff. Okay, let's get on with the program, shall we? Democrats are scheduled to vote, at least tentatively, on impeachment on Wednesday. It is a foregone conclusion. They have the votes. They have the majority. They are not bound or burdened by facts. They are going full speed ahead. It's kind of funny, though, because now Chuck Schumer over in the Senate is starting to make some grumblings and some demands about what he wants out of an impeachment trial. And it's kind of funny-er because he wants to call witnesses. He wants to call four witnesses. Four witnesses in particular that the House did not call. And why that's funny is that part of the one of the charges against Donald Trump is obstruction of Congress, completely made up. They just made it up. Let's say they obstructed Congress. They were thinking about maybe impeaching Richard Nixon out of an obstruction of Congress charges. So that sounds good. That's nebulous enough. It's a catch-all. Let's go with that one. So the Democrats decided to go with obstruction of Congress, in part, large part, because the president would had exerted privilege over certain members of his cabinet and inner circle, his advisors, over testifying. Now, it's funny because every president has done this. Every president has refused to comply with various subpoenas. Every president has done exactly what the Democrats are saying is Donald Trump obstructing Congress. What has happened in the past is Congress has taken the president to court, and sometimes the court came down on behalf of Congress. Sometimes the court came down on behalf of the executive branch. The Democrats said, screw that noise. We're not going to bother with any of that stuff. They didn't go to court. They just thought, well, we have more than enough evidence without these witnesses testifying, that we can go ahead and impeach the president of the United States. At part of the complaint that a lot of Republicans have had and that the White House has had and that some Democrats have been grousing about is that if these Democrats thought that the testimony of these four witnesses was so crucial to the impeachment of the president, then they should go to court. They should make their case. They should try to present it. They must be afraid they'd lose in court because leadership said, screw it. We're moving on. And since they are set to vote on impeachment tomorrow and pass articles of impeachment tomorrow, that must mean that they believe they have more than enough evidence without those four people testifying to justify impeaching the president of the United States. Then the question would be, if Democrats are so cocksure that they have the evidence that they need and all the testimony they need without these four witnesses like Mick Mulvaney, John Bolton, etc., then why are Senate Democrats insisting that they be called as witnesses before the United States Senate? The impeachment is supposed to be based off of the evidence sent over by the House of Representatives, seeing as how the House of Representatives are the House managers, the prosecution, if you will, in cases of impeachment. So if Democrats in the House didn't need witnesses, these four witnesses, why does the Senate? Well, the truth is the Senate doesn't need these witnesses. They've all made up their mind. It could be nothing. We get John Bolton up on the stage and or up on the stand, and he says, I saw nothing. There was absolutely nothing wrong with this. The money was not held up. It was not tied to this, so on and so forth. It's not as though the Democrats in the United States Senate are going to go, oh, well, then I guess we should move to acquit the president of the United States. This is all over. It was a complete and total misunderstanding. We know that's not the case. They're voting to convict the president regardless of what he or any of these witnesses say. The White House, on the other hand, has a very solid case about executive privilege and the ability of the president to have interactions with his staff without that information becoming public. To be perfectly honest with you, when this entire sham started back with the so-called whistleblower that really wasn't a whistleblower, at least it wasn't a whistle he was blowing, the case was, or the Democrats were expecting President Trump to not release the transcript. Remember, there was a couple of days hiccup where they're like, oh, crap, the president released the transcript of the Ukrainian phone call. And that kind of screws everything up because they wanted to have a long, protracted fight and they wanted to be able to define what was in the phone call. They started off, and the whistleblower report was way off on all sorts of things, and no point in rehashing it now, but the whistleblower report was wrong because it was based on second and third hand lies concocted in coordination with Adam Schiff and other key Democrats, I'd imagine. So you have a situation where they got that wrong, and the president released the phone call. Like, oh, my God, what are we going to do? Then the president released more information. He released the whistleblower report, and we got to see just how wrong it was. And everything started to fall apart for Democrats. So the Democrats simply, rather than trying to, admitting they were wrong or trying to make a case regardless of it and against the call, they decided to make a case ignoring the call, lying about the call, saying something was in the call that was not in the call. Again, if you're not bound by reality, your limits are boundless. And Democrats are decidedly not limited by reality. They're not bound by it. They're not interested in facts. They're interested in scoring political points. So it's kind of rich to hear Chuck Schumer come out and say, we have certain demands that we must have in order to have a fair trial. A fair trial. And I love how in his little press conference, Chuck Schumer was announcing that Donald Trump has not presented any evidence whatsoever to prove the exculpatory evidence. He's produced none. It is not the job of the accused. I don't know if Chuck knows this. He's a lawyer, so you think he would. It is not the job of the accused to prove their innocence. That would be nearly impossible to do. It is up to the prosecution to prove guilt beyond a reasonable doubt. And in the case of the two articles of impeachment that Democrats are pushing forward, there's no actual crime alleged in any of them. Abuse of power. Well, what is abuse of power? Well, where is it in the criminal code? Well, it's different here because we're dealing with the president of the United States. Impeachment is an inherently political thing. Therefore, don't ask us questions about the law. The law doesn't matter. The president shouldn't be able to call witnesses. Republicans shouldn't be able to call witnesses in the impeachment hearings in the House because this is a political thing. It's laid out by the Constitution, blah, 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 political, political, political. And so they just made up charges. If they're going to make up witnesses, they might as well make up charges. Why stop at witnesses? Now, watching the Senate scramble and the Democrats trying to keep this thing alive, they want a longer trial because they think they can get something out of it. They're saying, well, there's no such thing as a trial without any witnesses. Well, there's summary judgment. You can file a case against somebody. Prosecutors can file charges. And then there's a motion made right at the very beginning to have the case dismissed for lack of evidence. And judges sometimes can say, yeah, no, this is ridiculous. This charge never should have been brought, and dismiss the case. In which case, there were no witnesses called, Chucky. None whatsoever. Now, if I can know this just from my extensive legal background of binge-watching Law and Order, one would think that a lawyer would know these sorts of things. And, of course, Chuck Schumer knows these sorts of things. He's hoping his audience doesn't know these sorts of things. And he may be onto something there. Who the hell knows? But this entire thing is unraveling for Democrats. It's not turning out the way that they had planned ever since the moment Donald Trump pushed the transcript out. The Democrats have been sort of on unstable footing. They didn't know what to do. That wasn't part of the plan. Donald Trump was supposed to fight this. Then you add into it the polling data. We have here a new Suffolk University USA Today poll just out yesterday. National general election poll. Donald Trump against the Democratic field. Against Pete Buttigieg, he's kicking his Buttigieg. Donald Trump up by 10, 43-33. Against Michael Bloomberg, Donald Trump up 9, 43-34. Against Elizabeth Warren, the one-time, not-so-long-ago Democratic pseudo-frontrunner, it's Trump by 9, 43-34. Against Colonel Sanders, Bernie, 44-39, Trump by 5. Against crazy Joe Biden, it's Trump 44, Biden 41, Trump up by 3. It's all very interesting. And look, polls at this point don't matter except for, if the election were held today, then these polls would be relevant. Also, if the election were held today, everybody would be really surprised that today was election day. But what this tells you is trends over time. Donald Trump was losing to all of these people not that long ago, except for maybe Bloomberg because he wasn't in the race. So you can see shifts over time in what the American people are thinking. Now, there's still not great news in here for the Trump campaign in that Donald Trump is still mired in the low to mid 40s. But again, it's still early, and most people will wait who are persuadable, will wait until the very end or near the end to make up their minds completely. But what this is a testament to the strength of the economy and the weakness of the Democratic Party's candidates. It's telling that Joe Biden, who has had one of the worst 2-month periods in campaign history, and I'm not just talking about all the talk about Hunter Biden and his new illegitimate grandchild and all this stuff and the drug use and the Burisma and the money. That was bad for Joe Biden, but everything else was also bad for Joe Biden. Can you think of a good moment for Joe Biden in the last 2 months or this campaign season? And what that says to me is that Joe Biden does the best against Trump is a testament to how much of the Democratic field, voter-wise, is not interested in the other candidates. They just aren't. If you get Bernie Sanders or Pete Buttigieg or Elizabeth Warren nominated, there's going to be a slice of the Democratic electorate that isn't interested in that. They might not go and vote for Trump, but they likely will either not vote or will vote third party or write in their dog's name or whatever it is. That's not very good. Also, the dropping support for Democrats in the face of this impeachment, when Democrats have had unfettered access to the American airwaves and the ability to go unchallenged, spewing ridiculous garbage against the president of the United States, making a case for charges that don't exist. And the journalists out there are pretending that those charges do exist. And still, the numbers have gone in the other direction. Now, I believe its latest is plus 5 against conviction, against impeaching the president. It's gone haywire. It's not gone according to Democrats' plans. This brings us to crazy, drooly, insane, unstable Maxine Waters, the Democratic congresswoman who paid her daughter hundreds of thousands of dollars to work on a sort of, I'd assume, a sort of no-show job, certainly not a lot of work job, having to do with mailings in her campaign, because Maxine Waters will win with 78% of the vote come November. That's just the deal. She doesn't even live in the district, but the people in the district will vote for Maxine Waters. A huge percentage, 2/3 easily, 3/4 easily will vote for her. And she's raising a ton of money because she's chairwoman of the House Financial Services Committee, which oversees the financial services industry. And everybody wants to kiss up to Auntie Maxine, which means that they give her campaign contributions. They can't just give her cash. So instead, they give to her campaign, which she doesn't even really need to run. And then she's able to live off of that money through scam, you know, campaign events that she, again, doesn't need to run, and spread the money around to family and friends and supporters who maybe give her a little kickback. They give, I bet that Auntie Maxine gets really nice Christmas gifts, like bags of socks stuffed with money. That would be my guess, but it could just be straight up jewelry or vacations. Who knows? You know, when you're paying your kid a couple $100,000 to send out a mailer on behalf of your campaign, that kid damn well better get you something nice for Christmas and your birthday and for Mother's Day, don't you think? Well, Auntie Maxine was on CNN with Aaron Burnett, a show called Out Front. I'm not sure what they're out in front of. That doesn't seem to be very much, but that's what it's called. That's what the focus groups decided the name should be. Therefore, it is the name of the program. And Aaron Burnett ceded the last minute and a half of her program, or her interview with Maxine Waters, to Maxine Waters, to go on a paranoid rant of conspiracy and confession, both simultaneously. There is no challenge whatsoever from Aaron Burnett in anything you're about to hear from Maxine Waters. But I will note that at the very beginning of this rant, Maxine Waters says what is likely her most and possibly only true statement throughout not only the entire rant, but throughout her career. Here's Auntie Maxine on CNN.
Because I believe, even though I don't have the facts to prove it.
And then she goes off, and I just had to stop it right there because that's the only true thing she ever says. I believe, even though I don't have the facts to prove it. Although I'm not really sure it's 100% true because, well, Maxine Waters is pretty dumb. So there is a possibility that she believes it. But most sane people, even sane-ish Democrats, don't believe this stuff. They want you to believe it. They want you to believe that they believe it. And they're willing to beclown themselves and make themselves look like complete morons on national television by saying that they believe this stuff. But for example, Adam Schiff. Adam Schiff never believed that the FISA applications were on the up and up. There's no way Adam Schiff did that. He's a lot of things, a sociopath, a chronic liar, a fraud, but he's not particularly dumb. he is conniving and manipulative. So when he's out there all these times and he put out that bogus report based on, by the way, based on the exact same evidence that Devin Nunes put out his report where he got it right about the FISA abuses because they had access to the exact same information. Remember that? Oh, by the way, all the reporters who reported on the Nunes memo being a fraud and not really supported by the facts, while Adam Schiff's memo proves that the FISA warrants were on the up and up and that the Steele dossier was not a central part of the FISA warrant process, all those people, they still go to Adam Schiff as some sort of truth teller. Why? Because they're on the same team. That's it. Just because your coach tells you a lie to try and motivate you to win the big game and you found out that it was a lie and it was an obvious lie and you look like a fool for believing that lie, he's still your coach, right? You still go with what the coach says, and that's the way the media is. But Maxine Waters is dumb. Adam Schiff is evil. Maxine Waters is also evil, but it's almost by accident. It's a byproduct of her stupidity, whereas Adam Schiff's evilness is by design. It's at the very core of who he is. So for Maxine Waters to start off saying, I believe, even though I don't have the facts to prove it, it's telling, very telling. I just had to stop it right there because I thought that was possibly my favorite quote of the day. Even though I can't prove a damn thing and I got nothing to back it up with, I believe. And then she goes off on a stark, raving, mad conspiracy theory that involves Russia. She's still going off on Russia, even though Mueller found no collusion. This whole Russia thing is garbage, that President Trump has actually imposed much tougher sanctions on Russia than Barack Obama ever did. None of that matters to Auntie Maxine, which makes me believe that this is part of why I think she's dumb. She continues.
I believe that Putin wanted to lift the sanctions. He's always wanted to lift these sanctions that were placed on him because of his interfering with and incursion into Crimea. And so I believe that they wanted to elect President Trump. And Trump, I believe, agreed, I will always believe this, that he agreed that if he got elected, he would lift those sanctions. He would like to do it. He's not been able to do it. But when they talk about we just are making things up and he talks about this as a witch hunt, there are too many facts.
There are too many facts. Now, has she stated a single fact? No, she hasn't. In fact, she said, I don't have any facts, but I believe this. My spidey sense is tingling. And there are too many facts. I believe that Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin wanted to get rid of sanctions, but Donald Trump hasn't been able to do that. So Donald Trump then, in lieu of being able to lift sanctions on Vladimir Putin and Russia, imposed more sanctions, harsher sanctions than anything Barack Obama did. That's your answer? That's your conspiracy theory? That's your solution to all of this? That's your response, Maxine? See what I say when I say what I mean when I say that she's dumb? I don't have any facts, but I believe these are facts, and this is a fact, and the fact is this, and there are so many facts. You just said you don't have any. You, in fact, have not only said you don't have any, you've presented none. So what facts are you talking about, Maxine? Well, this is CNN. At that point would be a good opportunity for an honest journalist which you can't say without laughing, that would be a good point for an honest journalist to step in and say, you don't have anything to support what you're saying, though, Congresswoman. You just admitted that you don't have any facts. So what are you basing this on other than your fever dreams and your wishes? Then that would, of course, throw her for a loop, but that wouldn't help the team. And therefore, it's not done by Aaron Burnett, who just kind of sits there mumbling, grinning, and looking a little bit shocked and or confused. I'm not really sure. She also looks like her inner monologue is duh. But Maxine Waters, undeterred by the reality of her own words, keeps on going.
This president will not condemn Putin for hacking into the Democratic National Committee, will not condemn him for hacking into our election system. These are facts. 17 of our intelligence agencies have said this. Are these patriots or not? I mean, what do they think about our democracy being undermined by the president of the United States of America? If they want to say we just don't like him, they don't really care about what happens to this democracy, don't have an appreciation for the Constitution. And the fact that the Constitution gives us the responsibility to impeach when we see this president or any president who is not good for the country, who's undermining our country, who's putting us in danger, who's aligning himself with a foreign country to interfere in our elections. Those are facts.
All right. Thank you very much, Congresswoman Waters. I appreciate your time tonight.
I had to leave the last part there with Aaron Burnett. That was Aaron Burnett's follow-up to all of that garbage. Thank you very much. I'm going to leave it there, man. Wow, you've given us some food for thought. If that is your food for thought, Aaron Burnett, no wonder your brain is hungry. Nothing. I love the last thing, and those are the facts. The last thing that Maxine Waters says, and those are the facts. Nothing that she said is a fact. The idea was that's what 17 intelligence agencies have said. That has been debunked repeatedly. For example, one of these 17 intelligence agencies is the Coast Guard. It resides in the, is the Coast Guard intelligence agency really studying Russian hacking of DNC emails? Do you really think that's the case? Or maybe that's why so many drugs are getting into the country. Who the hell knows? The New York Times and all the fact checker organizations and honest people in journalism, which Aaron Burnett, apparently, I don't know if she's dishonest or disinterested, have said there were four agencies that said that, and that's all. Well, just four of 17. Now, the remaining 13 had no business weighing in on it one way or the other because they don't deal with that sort of thing. But Maxine Waters is either lying or stupid. Those are the two options. I'll leave it up to you to decide whether or not she's lying or if she's stupid. And I will accept the C option, which is a little of both. But this is the Democrats' case. We don't have any facts. We don't know anything. We don't really care. We're moving on. We're going forward because we believe that Donald Trump is corrupt. It is trying to put into to use an analogy, an imperfect analogy, so don't send me emails going, you called Donald Trump Al Capone. No, it is putting Al Capone in prison for not tax evasion. It is putting him in prison for jaywalking. And you only have suspicion that he was jaywalking. You don't actually have any proof that he was jaywalking. They're just making it up. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a disgrace. They are disgraces to their office. And the tighter they try to wrap themselves in the flag and the Constitution, the harder you have to laugh. These are people who despise the Constitution. They despise the Constitution. They make stuff up about the Constitution. They ignore the inconvenient parts of the Constitution. The interview this Friday is about the Second Amendment, and you won't find a single Democrat like Maxine Waters out there supporting the Second Amendment. They don't want to repeal the Second Amendment because they know it'll never get repealed. They simply want to ignore it. They want to circumvent it. So to hear them talk about, the reverence, the Constitution, which we hold so dear, and the Founding Fathers, which we revere, they must be adhered to on this matter. That is why we must impeach Donald Trump. To that, I have a very simple word. Bullshit. You're lying. This is political posturing of the worst kind. And the only thing worse than their political posturing is the Democrats in the media pretending they have a point. Speaking of not having a point, because I'm just, I don't know about you, but I'm sick of talking about impeachment. I mean, let's be honest. Democrats are strapping on the suicide vest as we talk. There's no talking them out of it. If you're inclined to do this, you're inclined to do this, and you're just going to go and do this. And Go ahead. God bless you. Go do it. I don't give a damn. You want to be this suicidal and damage the country this way? There's no talking sense to you. You are going to find a way to do it one way or the other, rather this than legislatively. And I hope the American people wise the hell up and throw all of their asses out on their ears in November. The insanity of the Democratic Party knows no bounds, though. It is a Tasmanian devil. It is the whirling dervish that comes back and knocks into everything, including the people that said it's spinning. I meant to get to this yesterday, but I just ran out of time. Just a couple of quick words. Politico reporting. The Democrats, by the way, their debate stage, it's set for Thursday. There's supposed to be a debate Thursday in Los Angeles on a college campus out there, Loyola Marymount. But there's a strike of food workers or food delivery people, or somebody's whining about their job. Some union out there is on strike, and they are very upset, very, very upset. And so they've threatened, the union has, that if the Democrats go to debate and this dispute with the union is not taken care of, they're going to pick it, which would mean that the Democratic candidates, the party of woke, would be crossing a picket line. And they're not about to do that. They can't do that. They won't do that. They refuse to do that, because that would be the end of their political chances to win the presidency. They're beholden to the union. They're a wholly owned subsidiary of union goons over in the Democratic Party, because they get a ton, tens of millions of dollars from unions. They're not going to look that gift horse in the mouth. No way. So there's a possibility that there won't be a debate Thursday, which would mean that the next debate wouldn't be until January. Now, on behalf of the American people, I think that we would all be grateful if the Democrats did not infect our lives for one night before Christmas. It would be nice of them. They wouldn't be doing it for those reasons. They'd be doing it for partisan reasons. But as a societal gift to itself, I think we'd be better served if Democrats didn't debate. But the Democratic debate process is having some problems, because if there is a debate on Thursday, if they resolve this dispute, it will look like a blizzard on your television screen. I don't even know which network is hosting this one. But everybody up there is going to be white, except for Andrew Yang. And according to the rules of college entry in Ivy League schools, Asian isn't really a minority. They don't count. Somehow evil whitey, that nobody's ever reconciled this, somehow evil whitey has decided to not hate or be racist against Asians in mass, and therefore you can punish Asians. You can treat them like they're smart white people or something, and make it harder for them to get into good schools and things like that. Also, the same goes for Indians, Indian Americans, not Native Americans, but people from India. They're doing much better than good old evil whitey. It's as if at our last white guy meeting, where we decided who to oppress and how to do it, we forgot that Asians and Indians existed. And they lapped us on both income and test scores and all the units of measure that matter. And we all just collectively said, well, what are you going to do? We're just going to stick with keeping the black and brown people down, and we'll call it a day with that. We'll take a solace in oppressing black people and Hispanics. Of course, that's a lie. It's a scam. It's a joke. It's one of the greatest hoaxes ever pulled on the planet. But Democrats are sticking with it. So Andrew Yang up on the stage, he doesn't really count as a minority. Democrats are whining that they're not going to be diverse enough up on stage, even though Mayor Pete's gay, married to a dude. So, you know, that's some kind of diversity, but it's skin color diversity. And being a white gay guy is almost as bad as just being a straight white guy in the hierarchy of liberal victimhood. So trying to exploit the Democrats' nature on this stuff, Julian Castro and Cory Booker have started to push to change the debate criteria. Those two did not make the debate stage this time because they are not polling well enough. They're polling horribly. And if you're losing to Andrew Yang, a guy who has never run for anything at all and was unknown until about a year ago, you're doing something horribly wrong in your campaigning. And it's probably time you recognize that your party doesn't want you. They're not interested in you. But Democrats don't ever admit that. Instead, they're trying to play the victim card. Why, we should be up there because of our skin color. Essentially, they're sending a horrible message, Booker and Castro are, in saying that the criteria needs to be changed in order to let minorities in. You know, it's like, what? Yes, lower the bar for us. We're minorities. We're special. We deserve special treatment, which is, I don't know about you, but it's the antithesis of what I've understood my whole life it means to be an American. But then again, so is everything Democrats now stand for and advocate for. Speaking of not having a point, because I'm just, I don't know about you, but I'm sick of talking about impeachment. I mean, let's be honest, Democrats are strapping on the suicide vest as we talk. There's no talking them out of it. If you're inclined to do this, you're inclined to do this, and you're just going to go and do this. And go ahead. God bless you. Go do it. I don't give a damn. You want to be this suicidal and damage the country this way? There's no talking sense to you. You're going to find a way to do it one way or the other, rather this than legislatively. And I hope the American people wise the hell up and throw all of their asses out on their ears in November. The insanity of the Democratic Party knows no bounds, though. It is a Tasmanian devil. It is the whirling dervish that comes back and knocks into everything, including the people that set it spinning. I meant to get to this yesterday, but I just ran out of time. Just a couple of quick words. Politico reporting. The Democrats, by the way, their debate stage, it's set for Thursday. There's supposed to be a debate Thursday in Los Angeles on a college campus out there, Loyola Marymount. But there's a strike of food workers or food delivery people, or somebody's whining about their job. Some union out there is on strike, and they are very upset, very, very upset. And so they've threatened, the union has, that if the Democrats go to debate and this dispute with the union is not taken care of, they're going to pick it, which would mean that the Democratic candidates, the party of woke, would be crossing a picket line. And they're not about to do that. They can't do that. They won't do that. They refuse to do that because that would be the end of their political chances to win the presidency. They're beholden to the union. They're a wholly owned subsidiary of union goons over in the Democratic Party because they get a ton, tens of millions of dollars from unions. They're not going to look that gift horse in the mouth. No way. So there's a possibility that there won't be a debate Thursday, which would mean that the next debate wouldn't be until January. Now, on behalf of the American people, I think that we would all be grateful if the Democrats did not infect our lives for one night before Christmas. It would be nice of them. They wouldn't be doing it for those reasons. They'd be doing it for partisan reasons. But as a societal gift to itself, I think we'd be better served if Democrats didn't debate. But the Democratic debate process is having some problems, because if there is a debate on Thursday, if they resolve this dispute, it will look like a blizzard on your television screen. I don't even know which network is hosting this one. But everybody up there is going to be white, except for Andrew Yang. And according to the rules of college entry in Ivy League schools, Asian isn't really a minority. They don't count. Somehow evil whitey, nobody's ever reconciled this. Somehow evil whitey has decided to not hate or be racist against Asians in mass, and therefore you can punish Asians. You can treat them like they're smart white people or something, and make it harder for them to get into good schools and things like that. Also, the same goes for Indians, Indian Americans, not Native Americans, but people from India. They're doing much better than good old evil whitey. It's as if at our last white guy meeting where we decided who to oppress and how to do it, we forgot that Asians and Indians existed. And they lapped us on both income and test scores and all the units of measure that matter. And we all just collectively said, well, what are you going to do? We're just going to stick with keeping the black and brown people down, and we'll call it a day with that. We'll take a solace in oppressing black people and Hispanics. Of course, that's a lie. It's a scam. It's a joke. It's one of the greatest hoaxes ever pulled on the planet. But Democrats are sticking with it. So Andrew Yang up on the stage, he doesn't really count as a minority. Democrats are whining that they're not going to be diverse enough up on stage, even though Mayor Pete's gay, married to a dude. So, you know, that's some kind of diversity, but it's skin color diversity. And being a white gay guy is almost as bad as just being a straight white guy in the hierarchy of liberal victimhood. So trying to exploit the Democrats' nature on this stuff, Julian Castro and Cory Booker have started to push to change the debate criteria. Those two did not make the debate stage this time because they are not polling well enough. They're polling horribly. And if you're losing to Andrew Yang, a guy who has never run for anything at all and was unknown until about a year ago, you're doing something horribly wrong in your campaigning. And it's probably time you recognize that your party doesn't want you. They're not interested in you. But Democrats don't ever admit that. Instead, they're trying to play the victim card. Why, we should be up there because of our skin color. Essentially, they're sending a horrible message, Booker and Castro are, in saying that the criteria needs to be changed in order to let minorities in. You know, it's like, what? Yes, lower the bar for us. We're minorities. We're special. We deserve special treatment, which is, I don't know about you, but it's the antithesis of what I've understood my whole life it means to be an American. But then again, so is everything Democrats now stand for and advocate for.
But at the very least, a $15 minimum wage, it may be higher as we introduce these things, but it means Medicare for all, or at the very least, you know, guaranteed health care as a right, housing as a right. So we have to really say, for the things that we depend on to live, we need at a bare minimum a public option, if not a guaranteed universality in it.
For the things people need to live, we have to have a public option or a guaranteed universality of it. She's talking about housing. She's talking about healthcare. She's talking about everything. She's literally talking about everything. She is literally talking about the government providing people with everything they need to live. I had hoped I would not live long enough to see this. I didn't think it would happen this early in life that a leading Democrat would be out there shamelessly saying these sorts of things. And no Democrat will disavow this insanity. Full-blown communism is essentially what she's advocating. We should take everything from everybody. Everything should be everyone's. Everyone given an equal piece of the pie, except for we in the leadership. We, of course, need bigger pies, more things, because we're doing so much for so many people. That's how it always works in these societies where equality is the goal. Yes, we've achieved equality, but sir, everybody's suffering. Yes, but everybody is suffering equally, except for those of us in leadership. As the peasants starve to death, we gorge ourselves and get fat. The Kim Jong-un, Kim Jong-il, Fidel Castro, Khrushchev, Stalin sort of model of Mao model of society. There are betters. They should be our leaders. They need special treatment, but everybody else should be treated equally, no matter how badly that equality is and treats them. It is, it's Animal Farm. It's a mess. It's a disgrace, and it's progressive. That is what progressivism is in a nutshell. It's not a rising tide lifts all boats. It's a lowering tide sinks them all. Let's drain the ocean. Let's make sure that nobody can sail. Therefore, nobody will be without. They're not ever advocating raising up the people at the bottom by empowering them through education, better an actual good education, not indoctrination, and say, well, then we can give you a fair shot to make what you will of your life. No, it is we must punish people who are doing well. They have to be punished. They are the problem. They are not the problem. Making more of them, encouraging more of them, is the solution. But Democrats aren't interested in a solution. They're interested in perpetuation of their power. And perpetuation of their power does not come through solving any of the problems they claim to want to tackle. That's not who they are. That's not what they do. They do not solve. If you solve a problem, you're not going to need a Democrat there to solve the problem, to work on the problem, to keep working on the problem, to help you make your life better. If you solve the problem, what good is that for Democrats? They're not interested in solving problems. Their policies create more and more problems. Like Joe Biden. We'll get to Joe in a second, but I got to tell you about our second sponsor, Patriot Penguin. PatriotPenguin.com. Look, it's Christmas card season. It's holiday season. Valentine's Day is coming. All the reasons you need greeting cards. And aren't you sick of the same stale choices, the politically correct nonsense, the garbage that is out there that you don't really have any other choice, but you go, I've got to get cards, so I have to go with this is the least obnoxious option. Well, Patriot Penguin has taken care of that. They have real, genuine, funny, genuinely funny, and genuinely conservative greeting cards for any occasion. Just go to patriotpenguin.com. Check out their selection. The artwork is great. The humor is there, and the politics is conservative. It's founded by a couple of young conservative guys who work in digital media. They saw this emptiness in the greeting card world, and they thought, we can fill it. We can make a difference here, and they really have. They've got great stuff. PatriotPenguin.com as an added bonus. They have a great sale going on. As an added bonus now, the promo code DAILYCALLER, all one word, will get you 30% off, in addition to everything else, off your entire order. You can't beat it. They ship the next business day, so you'll have it in plenty of time for Christmas and get ready for Valentine's Day and all those good things. Just go to PatriotPenguin.com. Check out their card selection. Read a few of them. If that doesn't make you laugh, you need to see a medical professional because there's something wrong with you. It's a difference, different from what is out there. It's a change of pace. It is conservative greeting cards with a sense of humor. They're actually very funny cards that happen to be conservative, which is very, very important. It's not trying to beat you over the head with a message. It's trying to make a joke, and it does. PatriotPenguin.com. Promo code DAILYCALLER, all one word, gets you 30% off your entire order. Okay, Joe Biden the other day, MSNBC had a, the media, MSNBC and CNN is desperately trying to make up for Donald Trump. They feel responsible for Donald Trump, for all the free media that they gave Donald Trump throughout the entire primary process and the general election. They're trying to do that in return to any and all Democrats. So they're constantly hosting these town halls on this and a town hall on that, and let's get together and really try and unite behind a Democrat, blah, 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 blah. And they had one on education. This is a very, very short clip, 7 or 9 seconds, whatever it is, but it lets you know how far left the Democrats have gone, that the so-called moderate Joe Biden calls for the ending of charter schools.
And so the point is, if I'm president, Betsy DeVos's whole notion from charter schools to this are gone.
Charter schools are gone if I'm president. Yes, we're going to trap those poor kids back in the public schools that they so desperately fled trying to get an education. Yeah, they're gone, baby, gone. Remember the story a few weeks ago about Democrat when Elizabeth Warren came out against charter schools and said she'd get rid of all charter schools? And the New York Times ran a piece that said, black and Hispanic voters are conflicted. They're feeling confused as to why Democrats would be calling for an end to charter schools when charter schools are doing so much good for black and brown children. And I told you then, the Democrats don't give a damn. They don't want people to escape. They don't look, the more kids who go from poverty to prosperity, not riches, not millions of dollars, but to prosperity, to really good middle class lives, the more the Democratic narrative is exposed as garbage and a fraud and a lie. They can't have that. They're not going to tolerate that. Are you kidding me? They don't want a pathway out of poverty. It's not even that they don't want a pathway out of poverty that isn't led through government. They don't want a pathway out of poverty because the more people get out, the more people might realize, my God, we can get out. We can follow their example. Work hard. Stay in school. Don't have kids out of wedlock. That's the key. It doesn't matter what your color is to getting out of poverty. And if people start realizing that, well, the Democratic Party starts to have problems. And the Democratic Party is numero uno. It's uber alles. Democratic Party loyalty uber alles. So charter schools actually help children. Charter schools set children's lives on a much better, sustainable, if you will, positive track that will lead to better lives for them and future generations of their family. And Democrats see that, and their first instinct is, we must kill it. Well, actually, the union leadership of the teachers' union's first instinct is, we must kill it. And Democrats simply follow the orders they are given from the people who give them money, who give them more money than you or I could possibly imagine. Charter schools, your time is coming. The clock is ticking. Democrats, New York City, they're getting rid of charter schools. And across the country, I told you, stupidity spreads like a cold on a plane. Speaking of stupidity, the Army-Navy game happened over the weekend. And during the Army-Navy game, the pregame in the Army-Navy game on ESPN, there were some people flashing what looked to be the OK symbol. Not just any people, cadets at the academies flashing it. And now, thanks to morons in the media, the OK symbol is now a symbol of white supremacy. Yes, you heard that right. We're really to that point that these idiots, because of four people on the 4chan website who made this up and said, yeah, this is really a secret. See, when you do OK, your fingers form a W and a P, and that means white power. And therefore, white power people were, this OK symbol is really standing for white power. It was a joke that became adopted by the left, desperately willing to and wanting to be offended by anything they can get their hands on. So you end up in a situation where, I had to look this up because I'd never honestly heard of the circle game. It's a real thing with a storied history of stupid things that teenagers do across the country. And military cadets are teenagers, let's be honest. You put your finger in a circle like you're doing okay, except you don't hold it up. Like it's actually, you're saying, okay, you just put your finger down and you put it somewhere near your crotch. And if somebody looks at it, you get to punch them. I said it's stupid, right? It was just like the flinch game. That's what we played. It's not even a flinch game. It's like, made you flinch. And then you got to punch people for it. Or we'd just punch people in the arm because that's what we do. Or if you saw a Volkswagen Beetle, you say slug bug and you got to punch somebody. Whoever said it first got to punch somebody in the shoulder. That's what this was. But because some idiots on Twitter said, oh my God, this is a secret racist sign, you end up in a situation where you get this CBS News report.
Military academies at West Point and Annapolis are investigating whether their students were flashing racist hand signs before the Army-Navy football game on Saturday. Several cadets and midshipmen were seen making a gesture that resembles one used by white supremacists. David Martin reports from the Pentagon.
Video from ESPN's College Game Day Saturday shows three cadets and midshipmen flashing the hand sign, some of them making a point to show their hand to the camera.
This meaningfulness and the significance extends well beyond just when the two teams play each other.
The hand gesture is similar to the OK sign.
Up four or down 40, they play their guts out.
But the Anti-Defamation League's Jonathan Greenblatt says lately it's been used by white extremists, including the Christchurch shooter in New Zealand and by white nationalists at a Portland, Oregon rally in August.
That was a white power gesture. White power being kind of the expression often used by right-wing extremists to symbolize and kind of speak to their belief in white supremacy.
I was going to let it play without comment and then comment at the end, but what in the hell has happened to the Anti-Defamation League? There's nothing bigger to deal with out there than cadets playing a stupid young kid game. And then, well, we see an opportunity to fundraise. It's a symbol of white power and white this and white that. And no, it's not. And you're a freaking moron who needs to be smacked upside the head. You should be publicly shunned. Everybody who buys into this crap should be publicly shunned. It's about control. They want to be able to control you. So they'll take innocuous things and make them unacceptable and then set about making sure that everybody else agrees that they're unacceptable or anybody's afraid to say that this is absurd, that these are being declared unacceptable. They want absolute control, the left does. If they can make a few bucks along the way, all the better. But the left is trying to instill in the population of the United States of America 100% unquestioned obedience. Now, I don't know who this reporter is for CBS News, but the next part of what he says should have caused him to be embarrassed to the point that he refused to put together this package. It should have caused him to have some dignity and refuse this assignment or quit his job rather than do it. But he didn't.
But sometimes the hand signal is also reportedly popular among junior military members as part of the circle game, where if another person looks at it, they get punched. Greenblatt says it's too soon to say what these young cadets were doing.
And so, again, I can't ascertain the motive of these kids. I'm glad that the universities will investigate. This will allow the universities to hold a conversation about issues of tolerance, issues of respect, issues of diversity, issues of equity.
Here's your diversity conversation. Here's your respect conversation. Here's your equity conversation. Go fuck yourself. There you go. There's your conversation that you want to have, pal. You piece of garbage. These are men and women who have entered the most prestigious and important military institutions in this country who are willing to risk their life for your blowhard ass. And you're going to sit there and say, well, it's too soon to tell if they were playing the game or they're just overwhelmed with their white supremacy and do that. You piece of garbage. And CBS News is garbage too for running this. And every other news outlet that is running this is garbage. It's a goddamn game. If you can't see that, no, these people see that. These people see that. These people know that. These people hate the military. These people hate this country, and they want control over your lives. It just pisses me off. So yeah, my language got a little salty there, but I don't care. These people need to be not only defeated, they need to be destroyed. They need to be crushed. They need to be so humiliated that nobody else decides that they're going to try and go down this path. If you want to live your life inside this little shell, inside this protective bubble where hand gestures must be run away from, oh my God, these hand, then fine, live that way. You don't get to punish people who don't want to play your stupid ass games. The Anti-Defamation League, what the hell happened to you? Are you that desperate for money? Are you that desperate for attention? And CBS News, you should be ashamed. This story should be about how liberals have bastardized this and are attacking the military, claiming that they are white supremacists when in fact they're just playing a game. But no, 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 no. The liberal agenda overrules everything else. Agenda uber alles, you freaking Nazis. Well, I got an F-bomb in the show and a GD in there. Not how I intended this when it started off, but I'm just sick of this shit. I cannot stand these people. I cannot stand these people. Anyway, that's all the time we have for today. If you want to help support the program, the website is patreon.com/Derek Hunter Podcast. I appreciate it. If you want to cancel because I said an F word on the show today, your support for the show, well, so be it. I said it. I could edit it out. I'm not going to. You can email me complaints all you want to Derek@dailycaller.com. Otherwise, get some hip waders on. It's going to keep getting thicker and thicker and deeper in Washington as more BS is spewed from morons like we talked about today. Have a great Tuesday. I'll see you back here on Wednesday.
Because I believe, even though I don't have the facts to prove it.